Are we ready?
Are we ready? Evan and Tiki here on The Fan of another busy, busy sports day. The Houston Astros are trying to avoid elimination. They're scoreless against the Tigers in Game 2 of their wild card series. The Mets, of course, try to eliminate the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. And it's funny, I found myself last night on Garrett Wilson's Twitter account, and I noticed a couple of things. Number one, for Giant fans out there, I don't even know if Sean's aware of this, Garrett Wilson stood up for Malik Nabers on social media. I don't know if you saw that. Some Giant guy, I don't even know who he is, ripped Malik Nabers. Said Malik Nabers had two drops on two game-defining fourth-down plays this season. He's the entire offense. He's incredible. But he also needs to catch the football in these big moments. We love Leak, but he's got to fix the drops. And Garrett Wilson responded to that guy, shut up, brah. How about that?
Wow.
Got to respect Garrett. About Garrett.
I'd argue Garrett Wilson should be ignoring all of that, but...
He can go on social media during the week and offer his opinion, and he actually defended Malik Nabers.
Right. I like that. Brotherhood there.
The other thing Garrett Wilson did, which I appreciate, is yesterday a lot of quotes came out about him because in an interview, he made comments that could have been perceived as shots at either Nate Hackett or Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. So Sean Morash broke the glass like he always does and says, hey, guys, you may have missed this. This is what Garrett Wilson said. And he did his job, right? He read the quotes. Tiki's initial response was, it kind of sounds like a shot at Aaron more than Nate Hackett. I was on Garrett Wilson's Twitter account last night, and Garrett Wilson said, hey, I'd like to add some context to this. So he wrote a little caption. He wrote, I didn't just comment. It was my answer to this strung out question. So here's the question that was supplied to Garrett Wilson, courtesy of a man I once put a sharpshooter on, Bart Scott, and he tapped. I mean, he may have been playing it up a little bit, but Bart Scott asking a long-winded question to Garrett Wilson. I want everybody to put their IFO hat on and tell me who you think Garrett Wilson is taking a shot at. Ladies and gentlemen.
If he is even taking a shot.
If he is, right. It's up to you guys to interpret. Here's Bart Scott and Garrett Wilson.
From the outside looking in, right, it kind of looks like you guys are a young team that doesn't have or a new team that doesn't know your identity yet, right? We know, like, I'll compare it to this. I'll compare it to the Ravens because that's the second organization I'm closest to. It took them, like, maybe 3 weeks to figure out how to incorporate Derrick Henry. But at the same time, they don't use Mark Andrews and they don't use Isaiah Likely. And, you know, Bateman and Flowers get some routes, but it's kind of become centric around one thing. What I'm saying is, are you guys struggling with your identity and trying to find it? Because it feels like you guys try a lot of different stuff. You guys have a lot of good players, but sometimes when you have a lot of good players, it makes things discombobulated.
I don't think we do a lot of different stuff, you know, to be honest. You know, when I watch football on Sundays, I see a lot of teams run and mix it up and stuff like that. I don't feel like we do that. So I think we know our identity is just about going out and executing it.
My layman's reaction to this is that the media and Sean Morash failed us yesterday.
Because you didn't listen to the whole thing, did
you? Yeah. I don't know if they lied to us. That's too strong of a word. But that was him defending the Jet offense. That was him kind of taking
it the same way.
You do?
I hear it the same
way. That was him pushing back on Bart and saying, hey, listen, you're wrong about what you said. And I'll be the first to tell you, I have no idea who's right or wrong. Tiki could give a better answer on that. But I heard Garrett Wilson defending Nate Hackett and the offense by saying, no, we do have an identity. In fact, we're doing the same things. So what you're describing isn't true. So I don't know, Sean, if you and others were being malicious in how you portrayed Garrett's answer. But I actually took it, and clearly Tiki did, and certainly elaborate. I'm going to shut up in a second. I think he was defending the Jet offense.
Okay, so on that portion, I certainly do. I think he took probably an unfair shot at Bart. Bart was asking a little bit of a strung-out question. Jet fans, calm down.
No, that's not unfair. It was a long-ass question. I like Bart, too, but you can say it was a long-ass question.
If you're going to take a shot at a long-ass question, which it was, and you put out the audio for the world to see, you better put out your long-ass answer and not cut it off where it makes you look good. Now, I have made a couple texts to try to get the rest of this audio because Evan would have asked me to.
Well, yeah, if you want to play the rest of it then.
I have not gotten the audio yet, I am again going to read you the finishing quote because this is where it is cut off very conveniently, and I give Garrett Wilson a lot of credit. It is cut off. I don't think we do that. I think we know our identity. Okay. That was it. That was the last quote we heard. It continued, it's about going out and executing it or figuring out if it's going to work. I don't think we're trying a lot of different things. I know personally, my route tree hasn't been what it's been the last 2 years as far as stuff I've been running. It's about figuring out if it's the right identity and whether it's going to win games.
Yeah, it doesn't
That's pretty important to finish saying.
So why?
Why is that important? Tell
me why that changes what the intent of his response
was. Well, because at the beginning, when you hear the audio, he's saying, hey, we have an identity, this is what we're trying. He's questioning whether it is the right identity for the football team with the rest of that quote.
No,
And he sets it.
I think...
Not really.
No, I think...
I mean, he literally says it.
No, but I think what he's saying is that my route tree is different than what it has been because we're not good at what we're doing. Like, we're just trying to keep it simple. Aaron Rodgers wants it simple. He wants to beat you with simple. That's what it comes down to. It's what the best quarterbacks do. It's what Kurt Warner did. It's why he's a Hall of Famer. Because you'd get up at the line of scrimmage, you'd want to blitz him, and he'd say, bring it. All my guys are going to adjust at the same time, and I'm going to make the right throw, and you're going to get torched. That's how Aaron Rodgers plays football. He knows. We've seen these memes where he sees a guy walking up to the line of scrimmage. He's like, you're not coming back up. Right? You've seen that meme?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
He understands the game at a ridiculously high level. And so when you can not get caught and be right all the time at the line of scrimmage, you can make plays. That's how Aaron Rodgers plays. Now, it makes coaching easy/harder. Easy because you don't have to scheme up all these things. It's harder because you have an idea of what you want to call on second or third down and whatever the down and distance is, and Aaron Rodgers is going to change the play on
right.
it. And so it's like, it's frustrating because you wanted to do something or attempt something, but it gets corrected by the quarterback. And so, like, I don't think Garrett Wilson is saying anything, to be honest with you.
I think
he's saying, you know, in previous seasons, we had all these different crossing routes and overs and, you know, different schemes, and we're not doing that anymore because that's not what Aaron wants to do. It's as simple as that.
I think it's nothing. I hate to tell you that, and I'm only talking about it because I think a lot of people listening thought it was something because mm-hmm. of the way it was portrayed. But like anything in life, you need context. You need to hear an entire thing. Now, here's what I will give you. And you can laugh all you want, Sean, because this is where...
It's just amazing.
What's amazing?
It's just, when it comes to the Aaron Rodgers Jets, it's always nothing with you. We've had 10 nothings now.
It's not always nothing when it's something I say it. Pre-snap penalties is something. That's a thing. Mm. The cadence thing, which we talked about earlier, to me was something. Aaron Rodgers contradicted Robert Saleh. That is something. Mm. This isn't anything because it was Garrett Wilson defending his coaching staff and his quarterback against a critique from Bart, which he could have him out. Certainly Bart mm-hmm. and Tiki, both you got. You know a hell of a lot more than I do. But that was Garrett Wilson defending it. So that's not an issue. Well, how's that controversial?
He didn't sound like a guy that was happy.
Well, he's frustrated the team isn't performing.
Right, and he should be. And this is where it's actually unfair to Garrett Wilson. I'll give him this. He's almost, by saying nothing, he's almost saying too much and giving us too much to chew on because to that question, however long-winded it should have been, look, there's no problems with the offense right now. We had a bad Sunday.
No, but that would be a lie.
That's a lie. Exactly.
There are...
Of course.
There are issues with the offense. And it's not just Garrett Wilson. It's also Aaron Rodgers. It's the run game. It's everything. And so Aaron Rodgers missed an open touchdown to Tyler Conklin in the end zone because he was looking for the trick play. Right, the right play was just get it out of my hands, get it to Tyler Conklin, who was turned, who was open. There was a window for him to throw it to. So it's not just Garrett Wilson. It's also Aaron Rodgers. And why is that? Because he hasn't played in a year. And he's coming off an Achilles surgery. He had one good outing against the New England Patriots, who are busted right now in some capacity. And it's hard to win football games in the NFL, even against the bad teams. So they got to get themselves right.
Yes.
I think they all know that.
Yeah, and that's why, of course, there's an issue. There's an issue with this offense. So I did a little research last night. I was very fired up after the Met win. I did a Rico Bronya, couldn't sleep. And sometimes I go to work. So I went in my laboratory, okay? I'm going to present to you information because it's bad information. It's not good information. I didn't go into my laboratory and find out something great about the Jets. I found out something that's really deeply concerning, and then Tiki can explain why the hell it's happening, and hopefully it's going to change. Garrett Wilson has received passes from six different New York Jets quarterbacks. Okay? He's played with six different Jet quarterbacks.
Okay.
First of all, can you name the six Jet NFL quarterbacks? Aaron Rodgers is one, so name the other five.
Okay, Zach Wilson.
Yep.
Tim Boyle.
Yep.
Zach Wilson. Tim Boyle.
I'll do it for you.
Mike White.
Mike White. Joe Flacco, Trevor Siemian. Okay?
Simeon, I forgot.
Yeah, no, it's easy to forget. Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, Mike White, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian. And I was really curious. Like, I was fascinated. What are Garrett Wilson's stats with each quarterback? I was like, man, I'm so curious. And I found out the information I wanted. And I can tell you right now who he has the best stats with. The answer is, you want to guess, by the way?
Zach Wilson.
The answer is Joe Flacco.
Ah.
Now, limited amount
of
games.
How many games? Was it two games?
So here's what I did, because I think stats need to be given proper context. Yeah. 21 games with Zach, 5 with Joe, 5 with Siemian, 4 with Mike White, 2 with Tim Boyle, 5 with Aaron Rodgers, right? So I did, what is his average game when that guy is the quarterback? Huh. Not just the overall.
That's a good way to do it.
Thank you, is what happens when I go in the lab. What a geek I am. Here are the numbers I came up with.
With a pen and a pad?
With a pen and a pad. Actually, with my tablet. You know, got my computer. Targets per game. The most of any of those quarterbacks, Joe Flacco would target him 11.4 times, okay? With Aaron Rodgers, that number is 7.8. That is the lowest number of any of the other quarterbacks he's played with on average. Mm. With Zach, it was 8.4. With Boyle, it was 8.3. With Siemian, it was 8.2. With Mike White, it was 10.3. And with Flacco, it was 11.4. Receptions per game. The highest, again, Joe Flacco, 6.6. The next highest, Mike White, 5.5. The next highest, Aaron Rodgers at 5, Zach Wilson 4.9, Siemian 4.4, Tim Boyle 4.0. So in the Aaron Rodgers case, his average receptions in the middle of the pack. Yards per game. Again, not the highest. The highest is with Mike White, 88 yards per game. With Joe Flacco, 76 yards per game. Who's next? Zach Wilson, 58 yards per game. Who's next? Trevor Siemian, 47 yards per game. Then you have Aaron Rodgers. It is alarming to me, and these are the numbers to back it up, that Garrett Wilson's stats with a Hall of Fame quarterback are below average compared to his stats with Joe Flacco, Mike White, Zach Wilson, and basically every other guy who's quarterback the Jets.
Yeah.
He's being targeted the fewest amount of times when Aaron's the quarterback. His receptions are 5. His average game is 5 for 45. So why? That's my answer. I gave you all the stats. Why? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well,
help me.
So I think it's partly how he's being used and what Aaron Rodgers wants to do, but it's also because I'm just going back and looking at these Flacco plays with Garrett Wilson.
Look at you.
It's a lot of
that's why Tiki's the best.
It's a lot of like digs, so 12 to 16 yard digs in routes. Flacco's knock him if you want. He's on time. So ball comes out, it's where it needs to be. You catch it, it's going to be in traffic, but he's putting it where it needs to be. That's what he does. That's why he looked so good for Indy last weekend when Anthony Richardson got hurt. It just is what it is. So when you talk about the route tree is different with Aaron Rodgers because there's a lot of times where he's just going to call a bubble. He's going to say, turn around right now, I'm throwing you the football. Or run up the sideline, I'm going to hit you on your back shoulder at, you know, run a go, but you're going to get this ball at 8 yards. And I'm throwing it because I'm seeing the back of the defender's head, which means you're open. So I'm not going to, maybe you can outrun the guy, but the percentage of completion of that pass is significantly lower than me throwing it on your back shoulder. And so his route tree is limited because the play gets changed at the line of scrimmage a lot of times. And he's not doing the things that Joe Flacco did, which was get to my fifth step. Know that you're at your fifth step and you're breaking in, ball's coming out, I'm hitting you in the middle of the field, especially if it's zone. So it's just a different mentality because of the different quarterbacking that's going on.
Well, when are the results going to change, though?
I mean,
they have to.
When they get on a Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers page.
Well, when does
that
occur?
Going to happen. I mean, it's only been 4 games.
I get that, but those games I talked about, like he quarterbacked with, or Mike White quarterbacked with him for 4 games, too.
Yeah.
Now, maybe this is more complicated, so you got to give it more time.
Did you divide your numbers by 5 games, by the way?
Excuse me?
Did you divide your Rodgers-Wilson numbers by 5 games?
Yeah.
Because remember, he only listed 4 snaps. I must have to throw that out.
That's true.
So his numbers are even worse. Fine. Okay.
That
does is prove my point.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
Look, what I would like to know, and this is not trolling, I'd actually like to ask Tiki this. You're right. More time, more practice. it felt like August, and I know we weren't there for all the practices and everything. It was all about Rodgers and Garrett Wilson and the crowd hooting and hollering, and all they did was connect every single practice, and we were led to believe, oh my God, look at this chemistry. How is that not translating 4 weeks in?
I don't know. I don't know. They're struggling. They're struggling. They're offensively. I can't, like, put my finger on all of it.
Because that chemistry was good, right? I'm not making that up. We all saw this.
But isn't
this
there
August.
A difference, Tiki, between chemistry on a practice field?
You also got to believe that teams are they're paid, too.
Yeah.
Right? And if they know one player is going to hurt them, it's Garrett Wilson right now. It's not the run game. It's not Breece Hall. It's Garrett Wilson. So I'd have to go look. I haven't done the Jets this year, so I haven't watched extensively how they're being defended. But I would think if you're taking one guy away, you're taking away Garrett Wilson.
No, and I totally get that. But I would have also assumed over the last 3 years with Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, Mike White, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian, that would have been the same game plan. Because Garrett Wilson has always been this number one threat, the guy that you look at when you're facing a team and say, we have to shut him down.
Unless with those quarterbacks, defenses were just more stunned the walls being thrown, and now they're anticipating the throw.
Look, I don't know the reason.
Yeah, you'd get a lot of stacked boxes.
Yes.
Sure. I don't know the reasons. All I know is, and this is for fantasy owners, but screw them. This is for Jet fans.
Mm-hmm.
One of the expectations on this football season, granted it's only been four games, is that Garrett Wilson is about to be unlocked. He's about to play with a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we are about to see his talent on full display.
Yeah.
And it's in a limited amount of time. I totally get that. But when you look at his numbers being either on the same level or below the Siemian, Boyle, White, Flaccos, and Wilsons of the world, it's concerning and it needs to change. If the Jets are going to have success, it's got to change. So maybe I need to be more patient, like you said, Tiki. We have to give it more time. But there is no denying that these results, they're not good enough.
Yeah. Did you say starting quarterbacks?
I said anyone who threw him a football. Why, did I miss somebody?
You missed Chris Streveler.
Oh, God.
God, that's a good one.
That's a great one. And you know, I missed another one, too. Chris Streveler and Josh Johnson.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. We do all the math. Now divide by seven.
Yeah. I know. The reason I didn't include them is because they never started games, but nevertheless, they did quarterback.
In. Could it also just be as simple as Garrett Wilson's just not like a top 10 wide receiver. He's a very good but not great wide receiver.
Well, this is the point Beningo brought up the other day. And yes, as Jet fans, we're trying to figure that out. Are we overrating Garrett Wilson? Or is this just a connection that's not working right now?
Yeah. It's hard to say you're overrating him because he was rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And his numbers with inferior quarterbacks have been so good. And so you just assume with Aaron Rodgers that it's just going to be exponentially better.
That's the assumption I made. It's a lot of us make.
I think we also forget Aaron Rodgers' history and that it takes some time for him to develop the chemistry with even elite wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes time with Aaron Rodgers. It's different because it's not scheme based. It's trust based.
Right. If the New York Jets acquire Devontae Adams, which is obviously the hot rumor going around. Mm-hmm. We talked about it yesterday. It actually developed as we were talking about it. It was hilarious. We were talking about Antonio Pierce's liking of a social media post, Devontae's comments to Kay Adams. And we're like, man, it really looks like they're going to trade him. And Tiki said, listen, man, it doesn't mean anything until he demands a trade. And then he demanded a trade.
Right.
And here we are.
Thank you. Thank you, Devontae.
Thank you, Devontae. And Adam Schefter's even reporting the Jets and the Saints are the two preferred destinations. Right. I give Sean credit. Sean brought up the Saints immediately. Hey, he likes Derek Carr. Okay. If the Jets end up acquiring...
He likes a quarterback that he's played with.
Right.
That's the operative clarification.
And he's played with Derek, and obviously he's played with Aaron.
Yes.
If the Jets acquire Devontae Adams, which I believe they will. I do. I think that they're desperate. I think that they understand what's on the line this season. I think Aaron's got a lot of power in the organization. I think he wants to be teammates with Devontae. That's been clear as day. I think the Jets are going to get him. Is that going to hurt the developing chemistry of Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers?
It might help. I mean, a lot of these teams just have options. They have so many options to throw the ball to. And I guess with Mike White, I'm not Mike White.
who are you thinking of?
Mike Williams.
Oh, yeah.
The Jets are starting to get to that point as well, where they have some options to throw the football to. So it makes it easier. I mean, when you have... I think of Houston right now with Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs. Mm. Who the hell are you covering?
Yeah.
You know, it just makes it easier to create like openness for almost all of them. And so, and they have a good tight end too. So it makes it easier for everybody when it's more than just one guy.
I worked very hard to get those stats, but we have a guy on hold who says that was terrible and doesn't like those stats. And so it may hurt my feelings because I work so hard, but I'm open-minded. Mm-hmm. I'm open-minded to fair criticism. So Adam and Seldon, why are you about to take a deuce on the 3 hours of work I did last night?
I don't think you're taking into account the actual like performance of trying to play catch-up with Zach Wilson in a lot of those games. I mean, you're forced into throwing for more targets. On top of this year, it's more of a balanced approach. It's actually more run heavy than anything. And on top of early turnovers in games against the Niners, not a lot of time of possession. I mean, I think they want to throw to Garrett as many times as they can, but their game plan is going to be run first. Like, Rodgers is obviously a game manager. They don't want him to get injured, and he's only throwing when he has to. But I'm just sick of, like, running Breece Hall out of shotgun on sweep plays over and over again and getting crushed in the backfield because we're just not good at locking up the ends. Like, just run. Do what Rex Ryan did. Run it up the gut, show him eye form, and just pound it. Like, that's what we got Braylon Allen for,
yeah,
right?
I think one of the challenges...
By the way, fair Adam, critique. I appreciate it. Context is key to everything, but which
Adam,
is why...
Adam is dead on.
Yeah.
I think one of the hard things with Aaron Rodgers right now is that he's 40, and putting him under center is not easy. It's he's closer to danger.
Is that why?
And that's why these pistols and, you know, shotgun offenses, which we see all of, that's why it happened.
To buy more time?
Teams with bad offensive lines want your quarterback farther away from the center.
Right.
And so with Aaron Rodgers, it's easier for him to operate and see when he's not crouched under center. You know, he's 5 yards deep, and so it just makes it easier for him to operate. But I've contended this forever. It is hard to run from side saddle. It's just hard. Like, your cutback lanes are limited. You're basically affected one way, and teams that do those zone reads, it's an outside zone play. And so how do you get back to the backside? It's hard. Your body, your shoulders, everything's pointed one way. It's really hard to get back the other way.
Yeah.
To be an opening. But if you're coming downhill, like you are when you're dot in the eye or you're 8 yards deep behind the quarterback, it's easy to make that turn. It's harder when you're side saddle.
Well, and also this offensive line, we could see this with our eyes, but there's a stat to back it up. And Next Gen Stats has this expected yards per carry stat that they have. And Jets X Factor put this out there the other day, and it's fascinating to read because we all see the Jets are not opening up running lanes for Breece Hall.
Yeah.
But is there a stat to back it up? According to Next Gen Stats, the Jets' expected yards per carry is 29th in the NFL.
Right.
They're not doing a good job of opening up running lanes for Breece Hall and Braylon Allen.
Right.
And I think a part of why myself and other Jet fans are screaming for more Braylon Allen is that because he's so big and physical, he's able to overcome the fact to a degree that the Jet offensive line is giving you nowhere to run because he's big and strong and he can run people over, which Breece Hall can't do.
Right. No, you're right. By the way, I'm just
say that again. Say that again. Whisper it into my ear.
I said you're right.
Oh yeah.
Because offensive line matters the most when it comes, especially to the run game. I'm just going through all 20 of Garrett Wilson's catches.
Mm-hmm.
He's right. His route tree is different. He's running hitches. He's running bubble screens. He's running, you know, under routes, meaning coming behind the line of scrimmage.
And his route tree being different means what?
And scooting out into the flat.
Is that a bad thing?
It's just so Aaron Rodgers can get him the ball faster. That's what it looks like. He's not running the digs that I was just talking about that he was running with Flacco and Mike White. He's running crossing routes, not running the overs. It's just different. They have an identity. It's a quick hit offense.
Right.
I know you like keeping records, so I have a running log. I just need to update it, please, because I wish I did this with the Nets. So big deal, no big deal. I just want to confirm because these are things you said, no big deal.
Yeah.
Trading for Reddick with no contract in place, big deal, no big deal.
It wasn't a big deal. It's become a big deal.
Okay, so you're shifting.
No,
and by the way, I think that's kind of why the Jets are... Like, people wanted this to happen yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, Devontae Adams is clear. Jets are going to go get him. Why isn't it happening? Because they have another guy that they're trying to wait to pay a contract.
I want you to keep scoring. Be fair. That's an L for Evan. I'm taking my L.
Go ahead. It was no big deal, but you take the L. Okay.
I was wrong. 0-1.
All right. Rodgers' unexcused absence comments by Robert Saleh with the Egypt trip.
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
1-1. I stay consistent.
All right. Saleh versus Rodgers, the awkward stare down in New England versus New England.
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
2-1
Okay, and Garrett Wilson's comments, not a big deal.
Actually, defended his offensive coordinator.
Okay, no, no. That, and by the way, nothing wrong with your answers. I just want to make sure I have the logs I present to you after Jets elimination. Because I'm sure
that's
we're going to add on.
That's not going to prove that it was a big deal.
I'm sure we're going to add on 5 or 6 of these. The point is a lot of breadcrumbs here. The Jets ship is rocking here.
Those are the breadcrumbs that the Jets are winning on Sunday, too, by the way. The more this happens, I never thought I would go into London with a confidence in this Jet-Viking game, especially the way Minnesota's played, their ability to get to the quarterback, the Jets kind of putting up the ultimate dud on Sunday against Denver, looking like a mess. The more this crap happens, the more I think they're going to beat the Vikings in London.
Mm. One more note from Evan Roberts. Devontae Adams, James Harden, same person?
How is that?
Just want to, yes or no?
Because is he fat and out of shape?
No, I'm just saying, the acquisition, any reminiscing?
Are they trading Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, and 157 first-round picks?
The acquisition, same person, not the same person.
It's not the same person.
That's fine. Just need the answer. That's
that what. Trade set them back, essentially. No, it's not the same.
I just want everything
so
on the record.
You are so desperate with your bloodthirsty Jet hate. And I'm not even, like, overly optimistic. I'm just
annoyed.
Saying these
I'm
things.
I'm annoyed.
What are you annoyed about?
Because I picked them to go 16-1 and make the five.
And now they already lost two games.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that lasted long.
Right. By the way, Malik Nabers did not practice today. So and this the listed injury is concussion protocol. There is a 5-step process to get out of concussion protocol. One of them that's the most important is practicing with the team, football activities, with a red jersey.
Mm.
So after that happens, there are 2 more days of protocol that need to happen before he is fully cleared. So practicing with the red jersey is the third level of a 5-step protocol. So he hasn't done the third one yet.
Mm.
So if he doesn't practice tomorrow with the red jersey, he's likely not playing.
Yeah, that's a big blow, considering how amazing he's been, but obviously he's got to get healthy. And he had the extra few days, which you thought would help a little bit. We'll come back with your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Yes! Tiki's teaching me soccer during the commercial breaks, by the way.
By the way, let me clean up this thing with Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
He is in the third stage. He has not done the fourth stage, which is practicing with the red jersey.
So when would he have to do that for him to be ready to play
Saturday.
On Sunday?
Or Friday.
Friday. All right, so there's still a shot.
He'd have to practice on Friday in a red jersey and then clear it. And then Saturday, technically, is a practice, even though not really. It gets a little dicey with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Full participant, and then he's cleared.
He's only been in the league for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And yet imagining the New York Giants offense without Malik Nabers is actually pretty
scary.
Because
of all the targets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the production is historic, I think, at this point.
Oh, no doubt.
From number of targets and percentage of yards.
No doubt.
Now, Wando Robinson is also getting a ton of targets.
Those two.
But he's mostly in the slot.
Right.
It's more situational stuff. The shots and the big plays, which they only have 2 of, I think, or maybe 4 of them, is mostly Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
So without him, it changes the dynamic of the offense significantly.
And
again, he's not yet in the fourth stage of protocol, which is practicing with a red jersey.
Mm. And on Sunday, the Giants play at 4:00, and guess who's on the call? Tiki Barber himself. So this will be the one time, as a broadcaster, you get to hear something that every broadcaster hears. Boog Shambi heard it last night. Mm-hmm. Doug Glanville heard it last night. Basically, every announcer hates your team. You are going to be in the great position where Giant fans are not going to say you hate their team.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
So congratulations.
You're right.
It is time for your Baseball IQ trivia question. It's presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. When was the last time, because this happened last night in the Met victory, when was the last time before last night the Mets won a playoff game without hitting a home run? How about that one? And put it this way. You may have to go back. I'm not giving any hints, but you may have to go back.
Right.
Last night, the Mets scored 8 runs. They did not hit a home run in that 8-4 victory over the Milwaukee Brewers.
Mm.
So that's the trivia question. We'll take caller number 7 at 866-540-WFAN to answer your Baseball IQ trivia question, and you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your Baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. And speaking of giveaways, tomorrow, right here on The Fan, I know what's going on throughout the day, and I know for us it's going to occur in the 5:00 hour. We are going to give you a chance to win New York Yankees playoff tickets. How about that? So that's on the line tomorrow, 5 o'clock, and also throughout the day, because as you may or may not know, we are the radio home for the reigning, defending, and undisputed American League Eastern Division champion, New York Yankees. Before we get to your calls, let's go to the playoff desk. How are the Houston Astros doing?
I was going to give you that update. At this moment, the Astros trail 1-0. So through two games of the playoffs, the Astros have scored exactly one more run than the New York Yankees.
Can you imagine if they go down meekly like that?
Wow.
It's
losing
2-0
at 0-2, I should say, at home,
yeah,
scoring one run in the ninth inning of game one.
Yeah. And in this game, the game that they played today, A.J. Hinch calls it pitching chaos in that they used an opener.
Oh.
And then he used just a bunch of different arms at them. And so far in the bottom of the seventh inning, they have not scored. And they're not even selling out their games. It's like Astro fans are getting arrogant.
Well, Kev's because they got... They were cocky.
Yeah.
They thought, it's just a wild card.
You know what else it
I'll
is,
worry
though?
About the division.
It's not night games. It's not just cockiness. It's that they've spent a lot of money going to playoff games the last 8 years.
True. But it is also a day game.
It doesn't help. Doesn't help. But
it's
I'll tell you.
It's beautiful in Houston.
If the Yankees,
hot as hell down there.
But if the Yankees or Mets were playing a day playoff game, the place would be packed.
Oh, of course it would.
I think what the Astros are going through, and the Brave fans went through this in the late 90s, and I did see it with the Yankees, too.
I was going to say, the Yankee fan went through
this. Yankees absolutely did this. It's when I went to every playoff game during the 2012 run, because tickets were dirt cheap. Nobody wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
That has changed now.
Yeah.
I think they have fatigue. Fatigue of they're there every year, and they're not going to waste their time in a wild card
series.
And
on top of fatigue, it goes to what the Yankee fan felt, which is you don't believe in your team, which is what I've been trying to tell you all year. Nobody, including the people in Houston, believed in this Astro.
So that's not true. I've done some research on that. The Astro fan does believe in their team. That's not true.
I would think how they finished the regular season had to make you believe in the team.
Well, Sean just said something that was incorrect.
How do you know that? You talked to Astro fans? Because I know a few.
I have, yes. I've listened to Sports Talk Radio. I've done my research on it.
Huh.
The Astro fan has a cockiness, actually, where it's like, of course we're going to be in the ALCS. We've been there every year since 2017.
Can I pre-buy my tickets to the ALCS?
Yeah. It's actually the opposite. You got it completely backwards. They are so cocky that they don't even think they need to show up for the American League Wild Card Series.
The two radio hosts I know in Houston say opposite.
Yeah, radio hosts aren't real fans. You know that, Sean. Very few are.
Oh.
We've got a few around here, but
not
in Houston.
Be careful, that first comment, Evan.
I'm just being honest.
About you?
I mean, he is.
No, I'm not saying about myself or even
tickets.
Others around here. I'm saying a lot of sports hosts are not real fans anymore. I think we're actually a place where we've avoided that. I think we're a very special place. But down in Houston, are those guys even Astro fans or are they from a different city?
One is from Dallas.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Where are they from? I'm sorry?
One is from Dallas.
Oh, one's from Dallas.
Actually,
yeah.
The other I know is from Jersey.
Okay, so the guys you're talking to about the Astros, let me get this straight. One guy's from Dallas and the other guy's from New Jersey.
But they've been there for the whole Astro run. They know the fans.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
He knows the fans, but he is not a fan.
I'm not talking about them personally. I'm talking about their feel for the fans.
Sean, you're a real fan. Okay?
Yes.
Those guys you're talking to, not real fans.
Yeah, but they know the real fans.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I just, which do you defend more, Aaron Rodgers or Astros? The team stinks. Told you they stink all year. They were no threat.
Sean, I take issue with something you just said. You said, I defend Aaron Rodgers. God bless you, Tiggy. When we started talking about the Jets on Monday, okay, what was the first thing I said about the Jets on Monday?
You blamed Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, did I?
You threw us a carrot.
I threw you a carrot. Joe didn't even agree with me. He's like, I can't blame the quarterback. I blame the quarterback. So when I don't freak out over every minor issue, but I rip what matters, which is, I said it on the air Monday, I'll say it again today. The quarterback didn't play well enough. The quarterback needs to lead a field goal drive to at least win that game. That's me ripping the quarterback. That's the ultimate ripping. Because this other stuff is noise.
Yeah.
This other stuff is eye candy. I care about what matters. So apologize.
I won't apologize, but I'll ask you to move on because it looks like the Astros are threatening and I don't want to jinx anything. So
stop talking about it.
Yeah, we're not even talking about the
Astros. Sean omitted when he was talking out of his ass about Astro fans in Texas that the Astros had the bases loaded when he gave us that update. He left that one small detail out because, you know, all these people in Houston are telling him about the Astros.
Let's go to Jamie in East Brunswick. How you doing, Jamie?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How are you? Can you hear me?
What's up, man?
What's up,
dude?
Good.
All right, listen. I'm a Dolphin fan. Let's get that straight out. So I'm not trying to hammer the Jets, but why does it seem like I think there's something really obvious going on and nobody wants to just say it?
What?
I feel like if you turn around and you input Garrett Wilson's name into these questions about Aaron Rodgers not liking this person or fighting with this person, you might see that I think it's the connection between them two that's tragic. And if you go back two games, go right before halftime, I don't know if you guys brought this up ever. It happened two games ago.
Go ahead.
It was right before halftime. Aaron Rodgers is trying to run out the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Last pass goes. It's a sideline pass. Garrett Wilson. They didn't connect. It was fourth down or third down. They gave up the ball, whatever.
I'll take care of it. I dunked it. He cursed up. But it was a fair description.
He messed up is basically what he said.
Okay.
Garrett Wilson saying to Aaron Rodgers, you messed up.
So let me ask you something.
Yes.
Because I'm sure that happens. I'm trying to remember the play. Isn't that normal?
Yeah, of course.
Like, isn't that a part of sports?
In
like,
the course of a game, you do something met wrong, whether it's you or somebody else, you get emotional about it.
And I bet there is frustration between Garrett and Aaron. Not that they can't fix it, but that it hasn't worked. Because it hasn't worked.
It's not clicking. It doesn't feel effortless.
Right.
And we kind of felt like it would just be effortless. And there have been moments where it has felt that way.
Right.
Even, you know, the San Francisco game wasn't pretty. There were some moments where it was like, man, these two guys are just right on each other.
Right.
Like, they connect easily. These slants and these hitches and all these things that they're doing, this is going to be amazing once it really gets explosive.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't transpired yet.
There's no disagreeing that this hasn't worked yet.
Yes.
Because it hasn't. The question is, can it be fixed? When will it be fixed? Yeah. Will it be fixed?
Well, the challenge is doing it immediately in the short term because you don't know what the long term is.
Right.
I'm talking about with Aaron. You don't know. I mean, could be fine for the rest of this year. What about next year? It just becomes like there's an urgency to be good and have this connection for these two guys.
Yeah, it's tough to even think about next year. My assumption with Aaron Rodgers has been this. If they win the Super Bowl, he retires. That's the greatest scenario in the world, and it's probably not happening. Right. But, hey, one can dream. He suffers another injury, and he retires. And then the third possibility is he just keeps playing.
Yeah.
The fourth possibility, which is the weird one, which is the worst-case scenario, is that it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting here at the end of the year saying, they got to fire the coach. They got to get rid of the whole staff. And there'll be a lot of Jet fans saying, yeah, you know what? Didn't work with Aaron. Get rid of him, too.
Right.
And that creates the ugliness of the worst case scenario, which is it on the table? Sure.
Failed situation, and now you're probably too good to draft a quarterback, and you're kind of stuck.
Right. And then you're firing the coach, hoping that, you know, Aaron Rodgers handpicks a new head coach. You know, you dream about Bill Belichick, who would never coach this team.
That's just not ideal.
Right.
It's not an ideal situation.
That's probably the worst of all the scenarios. But sure, it's on the table right now. I just hate to think about that stuff 4 weeks into a season.
Think about it, because they're not there yet. You're 2-2. You're good.
Wow. Are they good yet?
No. Not that the team is good.
I mean,
you're in good position.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. I mean, one of the best teams in football is also 2-2, and that's the Baltimore Ravens.
That's right. And
the problem is they have gotten continually better each week.
Well, that was the killer about Sunday's game.
Yes.
The Jets were doing that.
Yeah.
Week 1 to week 2 to week 3 was improvement every single week.
Right.
And then week 4 was the week where everything got crumbled and fell apart. One thing I have noticed, and I think this is encouraging, and I think it needs to happen, is the evolution of Braylon Allen being on the field a lot more. Like, that's happened.
Especially in short yardage and goal line situations. I hate to do that to Brees. But it just feels like it's necessary.
It's not only necessary in those situations, which should have happened on that first and goal from the 1 yard line. I think the longer Breece Hall continues to struggle, again, not all his fault, and the longer that Braylon Allen looks ready,
right,
he's going to have to play more.
Yeah, he's got to be an option.
He may turn into the bell cow running back.
I mean, I doubt it because of the explosive game changing nature of Breece Hall's game, but Braylon Allen is not a slouch.
No, he's not.
He's not we're losing something when we go to our backup.
And performance matters.
100%.
If you perform better than the other guy, you start to take over. Right. Carmelo in Freehold, New Jersey. What's up, Carmelo?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
All
I'm
good.
Feeling really grateful that the Mets are in. Surprised that they're one of 5 teams in the playoffs who had less than 90 wins.
Everybody was less than 90 wins except for the top two, right?
It's a very mediocre season when it comes to wins and losses this year, right?
And I'm feeling optimistic about tonight. I think that if Manea pitches like he did in the middle of September and gets a little revenge on Frankie Montas tonight, he could have a good night. Want to extend a tip of the cap to Lugie, who elevated, you know, centered and elevated.
Kept
Lindor,
believing.
He went run. And regarding Pete, because you spoke about it earlier in the show, I liked his approach at the plate yesterday, taking the first strike, working the count, not trying to pull things. And I think that if he stays with that approach, he'll have a shot at having a big postseason, hopefully, and kind of meeting that clutch standard that you know, Keith Hernandez and John Olerud and Carlos Delgado have already established.
Sure. I think it's more than, it's not even to me about meeting a standard that we all have for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's about thinking that for the Mets to continue this run, for it to extend past just today and tomorrow potentially, and go further than that, they're going to need one of their most prolific sluggers to perform.
Mm.
And they didn't need him yesterday. They didn't need a big game from Francisco Lindor either. And you can win games like that, no doubt. But can they get to the ultimate place if that continues? That's the real question. And that's where they need Pete Alonso to get hot. By the way, last check, Sean told us the Astros were losing 1-0 in the seventh inning. Any update on that?
The Houston Astros, the champs, are up 2-1.
How come Sean didn't provide that update?
Because I'm working.
Are you? Isn't talking on the show working?
It is working. Inside baseball, we're having something, an issue back here.
Oh,
he was helping me out with, that it was my fault. I don't want to expose what the issue is here on the air, but there is an issue.
Yeah. Backbone guy. Blue collar guy.
Yeah, I think the issue is they don't like each other, Teague.
Who, me and Luke?
I don't feel that lately.
Now you think they're getting along a lot better recently?
Yes, I do.
We hate each other.
Dude, by the way, I gotta tell you about this. I don't know if SNY has the graphic. I apologize if they don't. I got sent an email last night that I look just like Jackson Churio of the Milwaukee Brewers.
What?
Why you got such a confused look on your face?
Because I don't know what Jackson Churio looks like.
Well, I've got the pictures to provide it. Jackson Churio, of course, young outfielder for the Milwaukee Brewers. And when I first read like the context of the email, I said, how the hell do I look like Jackson Churio? That doesn't make any sense. And then I looked very closely at the picture, which I will share with you. And I'm like, holy crap, I look like Jackson Churio. This is unbelievable. So I will show you the picture. I don't know if we have it for the TV. If not, it's okay. Our radio audience needs a description anyway. It's a picture of a young Evan Roberts and a Jackson Churio. And tell me if you think I look like him.
Well, first of all, he's black, so no.
Well, that's okay. You can look like somebody who doesn't have the same skin tone.
Yes, you told me this. But yes, your nose, smiling cheek area looks exactly the same. And I think it probably is the beard.
Look like Jackson Churio.
The goatee makes you look like Jackson
Churio. Obviously, lookalikes aren't going to have everything look alike. So, yes, Jackson and I have a different skin tone. But the smile is, like, awkwardly the same.
Yeah, but it's only because of the beard.
Yeah, the picture that I showed Tiki, I have, like, this goatee I had when I was much younger.
And Churio wears a goatee.
And Jackson sort of has, like, a beardish goatee. It's just psychedelic. I look like Jackson Churio.
That goatee, you look like an extra in a porn movie, dude. I mean, what were you thinking about with that bad boy?
I don't know. How the hell does whoever sent that to you, like, think about and find that old picture of you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, because right now you don't look like Jackson. Like, looking at you with my eyes right now,
right?
You are not Jackson Churio.
I do not look like
that picture. You absolutely look like him.
Yeah, I want to find the guy's name. Oh, Josh Sogadoff. Josh, dude, you're sick, man. Good for you, though. It's like, it's not inaccurate.
Yeah, but was he stalking your old photos?
That's a great question. I think he was stalking my old photos.
He had to have been.
Yeah, I'll put that out on social media in a few minutes, at Evan Roberts, WFAN, if you want to analyze it yourself. And watch the game tonight. You know, when Jackson Churio's out there, you may think to yourself, oh, my God, that's a black Evan Roberts. Because we actually do look alike. So good call by Josh. What caller did you want me to go to, Sean?
Bobby.
You want me to go to Bobby for some reason? Okay, Bobby's in the Bronx. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Chick. How you doing?
Oh, good, man. What's up, dude?
What's up?
Before I get into the umpiring tonight for the home plate, I believe it might be De Jesus, but before I get into that, I used to be a sergeant for the last 5 years at 3-4 Precinct. The Cloisters is located at Fort Tryon Park, up of Manhattan, and the three things it's well known for is for illegal car shows, drugs, and I don't know what to say with the third one, but I'll put it in Velvet's right in the summons, public lewdness among same genders, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay. So yeah. I was right, basically, is what I said. I pictured that there's a lot of sex going on up there. And
but what about guys, nerds scoring baseball games? Is that running rampant up there?
Which is, I don't believe, illegal?
No! No, it's not illegal at all, man.
Bobby, depends if your pants were on, which they were off the other day here.
My pants were on. I was very well dressed, and I saw a lot of cars. I saw a lot of people hanging out, and I was like, this is cool. I could see why you'd come up here and do a lot of that stuff.
Bobby also wanted to add that he thinks the umpiring is going to be a major issue with DeJesus today.
I don't think Ramon DeJesus is on the umpire staff. Huh. Like, I think he has that one incorrect. According to my scorecard from last night, we saw Alan Porter, who's not a great umpire. I mean, so maybe he's got an issue with Alan Porter. Siegel, Miller, Estabrook. Yeah, I don't think Ramon DeJesus is a thing. Unless they change the umpiring crew from one game to another, which I doubt. But I can try to find the umpiring crew. It's good research, though, because I do think the umpiring crew matters. Yeah, he's not on the staff that umped last night. So unless there's an umpiring change that I'm not aware of, I don't think we have to worry about Ramon DeJesus. Those are the Met fans I love. Even if they got the information wrong, concerned about the umpiring. Hey, you know what? That's looking ahead, because there's a damn good chance we're going to be whining about it tomorrow. We'll get back to your calls in a minute, 888-808-1019. And for the Yankee fan, we do have some issues we need to address, including the Yankees making a decision that I wholeheartedly disagree with, and I'll explain it coming up.